Common Council meeting to order. It is 6:02 p.m. on Tuesday, January 14th. Let's stand and say the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Weigle.
Here.
Vargas.
Here.
Griffith.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
Romano.
Present.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on December 30th. Were there any changes or corrections? I didn't see any either, so. Can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Yeah. Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Tad. Further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Walt. Denny, you can't vote yet. Dan, Jennifer, and Tad approve. Denny abstains. Okay, next up is the election of council president. Certainly open the floor for nominations. Okay, are there any other nominations?
I nominate Walt also.
Do I have a motion to close nominations at this point?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor of Walt remaining council president? Okay, yep.
All right.
Yep.
I'll just make sure.
Okay, so Jenny, Ted, Jennifer, and Dan all approve, and Walt abstains.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, next up is the swearing in of our department heads, who look very dapper tonight, by the way. So. Rosie Coyle.
Can't wait to swear.
It's only second or third time today.
Yeah.
Please stand. Nicole, you want us to wait for you?
Oh, I'm good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, when I say I, say your name. I
am Natalie Murray.
I
just
thank you. Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
Or affirm.
Or affirm.
That you will faithfully discharge your duties.
That I will faithfully discharge my duties.
As. Of the city of Columbus City, Indiana.
Of the city of Columbus City, Indiana.
And will uphold the ordinances of the city of Columbus City.
And will uphold the ordinances of the city of Columbus City, Indiana.
And the laws of the state of Indiana.
And the laws of the state of Indiana.
And of the United States of America.
And of the United States of America.
To the best of your ability.
To the best of my ability.
So help you God.
So help you God.
I was getting drowned out by you.
She wanted to be her.
Wherever you are.
I'm telling you, Tom.
Tom.
I didn't know your name was Jason.
You didn't know his name was Chip.
He still thought it was Chip.
Okay, on that note, we'll go ahead and move to the animal control agreement. Animal control agreement. You'll find in there a note from Abby Carroll, the Director of Operations for the Humane Shelter. Just as a, I guess, as a little piece of the puzzle here, just for your information. Every year, we have a, department head, can I ask you to tone it down just a little bit? Thank you. Every year, we contract with the Humane Shelter to act as our animal, provider, if you will. They're the ones that take care of our animals. When our police officers go out and they trap animals, cats, dogs, pets, things like that, they go to the shelter. The shelter actually does temperament testing for us, things like that. So there's actually a lot that they provide. Back in the day, I don't know how long ago, but back in the day we actually used to have our own animal ordinance enforcer, if you will, and that didn't seem to make a whole lot of sense when we had a humane shelter work. And it takes care of things now. So with that being said, in front of you is a memorandum of understanding, and you also have some additional data there. If you'll take a look at that, you can see there's kind of a breakdown of the different stray animals, basically, that have been delivered, dropped off, etc., to the humane shelter. So with that, again, our obligation under this agreement, this MOU, is a maximum of $25,000. That's stayed the same for as long as I've been mayor, and I'm sure before that, too. Walton, Dan, you guys would know better than anybody else here, but yeah, it's been that way for a long time. So, but it is $108 per animal up to that $25,000 threshold. So this is, I believe it's a yearly agreement, correct? Yes.
And Mayor, is it also correct that it's prorated from different towns within Whitley County of what they pay as well?
So that I do believe that there are different MOUs with different towns, and yes, obviously we're the only city, but yes, there is different agreements with each of the different organizations.
Just a side note, I guess you could read it, and then I could say this, but any place that says town council should be changed to city, or the common council, however you want to do it. But
very good.
I just saw that. It's only like one or two or three places.
So, figure out how you want to do that. You probably don't want to read the whole first paragraph, because that probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So,
well, since it's not a resolution or an ordinance, do I have to read it? Do we need to read
well,
it?
Well, that's, I guess that maybe that's a question for Marcia. I don't know how you want to handle it.
No, you wouldn't have to.
Okay.
I would just identify it.
Okay, very good. So any questions, comments, concerns about the memorandum of understanding for between the city and the Humane Shelter, or Humane Society?
Did we invite them to come talk?
I don't know. Perfect. We did invite them to come talk?
Oh, no, we didn't. I thought you said, can we?
Yeah.
I mean, it might be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, is 45 a usual number?
Yeah.
There is three.
That's for the quarter.
Scott pointed out there's three or four that aren't really ours on there, but South Whitley's, I believe.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. We're out in the country.
So, gotcha. No, I agree. I'd be more than happy to. In fact, I think in the past years we have had them come, although I don't know if it's been directly in conjunction with this, but yes, I know in the past we have had them come up.
They've changed directors.
Yeah.
I think maybe they may have got lost.
That I have no problem with that. So inviting them.
So do we need Mayor to acknowledge the annual sum that we will be charged as a group, to acknowledge that we accept
a maximum of $25,000?
Right.
That would make sense in a motion.
Okay.
Indeed.
I'd like to make a motion that we enter the agreement that's been presented to us with the animal shelter, not to exceed $25,000 annually for the support of the animals in Whitley County, Columbia City.
Okay. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Motion by Walt, seconded by Tad. Further discussion or questions on the matter? Hearing none, all those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you. Okay, on to the ordinances. Next up is ordinance number 2020-1. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance number 2020-1 by title only.
Ordinance 2020-1, an ordinance amending Chapter 75, Traffic Schedules of Title 7 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
Kelly, I think this is your change.
This is the extension of Cambridge Crossing, new section out there. Is West Longfellow Boulevard extended to the east, and then Norfolk Cove is a cul-de-sac road. Tease into that. So stop sign at Norfolk and Longfellow, and then 20 mile an hour on both streets.
Gotcha. Have we, just as a side note, have we approved the traffic schedule change for Ravenwood's new section yet? Do you remember?
I don't know for sure.
Okay. Just squirrel memory. Okay. Any questions about ordinance 2020-1?
I mean, I know it's Longfellow Boulevard, but does that need to go the direction in front of that under the stop app?
Oh.
The what?
That is West Longfellow Boulevard instead of Longfellow Boulevard.
Does that need a W? I mean, since it's the ordinance.
I mean, if that's, yeah, if that's.
Because I know it's West Longfellow.
Yeah.
That's what the sign says.
It says Longfellow or West Longfellow?
Yeah.
It's West Longfellow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then I would say yes is the answer to the question.
This is just the first reading, so
she
can change it before the next one.
I think that's the parking schedule. That's a good discussion point. Okay. That's fine. I'm fine with a change in the West Longfellow. That's fine. Okay. Anything else for the ordinance? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve ordinance number 2020-1 on first reading?
So moved.
Second. Motion by Tad, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor, show the usual sign. It is unanimous. We'll move that to second reading at the next meeting. Next up is ordinance number 2020-2. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer. Seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance number 2020-2 by title only.
Ordinance 2020-2, an ordinance amending Chapter 73, Bicycles, Unicycles, Three River Cycles, and Golf Carts of Title 7 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
Jennifer.
So, I don't know if we want to approve this first and then get into the whole golf cart discussion, or how do you want to?
So ultimately, I would say the question is this: we can have the discussion if you want, and then if there's changes that need to go into the second reading of the ordinance that you want to change, that's fine. Or if you want to just focus on this and then we have the discussion afterwards, that's fine too. It's up to really what you want. If you're okay with coming back and having another ordinance change down the road,
that's
if there
fine.
May be another change.
We can go ahead and approve this part of it.
Okay.
Basically, we'll just go ahead with this part of it. Our ordinance committee met, and one of the things that we noticed in there was that there was a problem with a description about golf carts and allowing six people, two people per seat, and so that's now spelled out in the ordinance. And the idea there is the golf carts that are legal golf carts that have three seats.
Sure.
So.
To be clear, the seats are actually the bench itself, right?
Yeah. So that's what the purpose of that change is. And
gotcha.
As soon as we're done with that, then we have a whole other discussion.
Okay, so I just want to make sure I'm clear on your intention. Your intention to pass through this ordinance and then have a bigger discussion on golf carts?
Sure, because it's kind of two separate things.
Okay.
Like, this is just...
Very good.
this is just the seat situation.
Sure.
It's not anything that was contentious at all. So.
That's fine. Any questions, comments, concerns about the revision to the golf cart ordinance as presented? Okay. Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve ordinance number 2020-2 on first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. We'll move that to second reading. Yes. So, Walt brought up a good thought, is that we probably should acknowledge what the difference was. So it was four people. So, I'm sorry.
What did it say before?
I think it was silent. I thought I added.
Oh, it was silent.
I think I added
completely.
A sentence. I might have been able to do that too. Wait a second.
Because I think I. I thought there was a maximum occupancy of four people.
There might have been. I just
maybe
been
I'm
struggling to
that.
Pull up my ordinances.
Sometimes
so
additional.
Did that book up to date?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Now they're selling six seats. Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. Or six people.
Two people per seat.
Two people per seat. So three seats. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you had four seats, you could only have
right.
Four.
Right. Indeed.
Did you find it?
Sorry.
Jennifer?
No.
Oh, okay. No.
So
73.
We can probably swing back around to that, but I think it would be helpful just to make sure that we have an understanding of. I think we know what the ordinance says, but what does it specifically say in writing? Does that make sense? So, okay. With that being said, let's have a broader discussion about golf carts.
Okay, so the broader discussion about golf carts is we have heard from the public that there was interest in changing the age of people riding on the golf carts, and there over time has been suggestions of let's have 2-year-olds on there, let's have 3-year-olds on there, let's have whatever. We brought that to the committee, and the committee felt pretty consistently that we didn't want to change the age because we're concerned about the safety aspect of it. And leaning heavily on the input of our police and fire departments, who would ultimately have to be responding to the scene of an accident with one of those, we felt pretty good about staying where we're at with ages. I did want to open up this opportunity for either of you to have something to say about why you think
well,
we should.
If you start reading about the ages, a very high percentage of injuries occur and people 18 and younger. Now, there is a gap from, I think it was like 6 years old to younger on the number of injuries that occur in those age spans because most cities don't allow it under, it was either 5 or 6. So there is a gap from the infant to 5 or 6 year old that don't have a whole lot of injury because of the lack of information because most places don't allow it. So that's why one of the things that we put into consideration, also the fact that there are no protections built into these vehicles like we have in modern vehicles. It's fiberglass and no roll cages to speak of, no interior structure. So you put any, I just have a problem with it, just to go into.
And then if children get, small children, they have a disproportionately large head compared to their bodies and their neck muscles and stuff aren't really designed for that a sudden stop, even if you're holding your young child, and that's why they have rear-facing car seats, is to protect their neck and stuff. So if you stop really quick, that large head and small neck structure, you're asking for injuries. And small children are hard to hang on to anyways. You know, you're in the golf cart, they could easily, and you're not paying attention just for a second, they could easily just slip out. So, at 6, they're getting to the age that they might actually listen. So, and all the things that Tom alluded to that, most places don't allow. So it's tough to study injuries because they just don't allow it. So there's not really any statistics on it. And it's probably not a really well-tracked statistics anyways.
Right.
But we wanted to bring it to the council because we wanted everybody to have an opportunity to have something to say, if you don't have something to say about it, but understand where we're coming from as far as continuing to hold to the idea that we want kids to be a certain age to be on the golf carts. There definitely were a lot of concerns about changing that to be younger. I think sometimes it's our responsibility to look out for everyone, and sometimes that's when they're not looking out for themselves. So it might be fun to take little children on golf carts, but it not might not be right to do that.
Also understand that there are comments too. As you know, I'd like to take, you know, there are people that are responsible for how they take care of their kids. And then there's some that have been a little careless at the time of time. And unfortunately, it's the ones we got to watch out for. Watch out for the ones that probably aren't as responsible or caretaking of their child. And they sometimes, you know, I mean, kids are kids, and they're going to, you know, no matter how, you know, the best disciplined kid is going to possibly, you know, fall off that thing, or they turn the curve, or they fall off, or, you know, there's a possibility of getting hit by a car.
Right, and they're relatively unprotected on that vehicle. I think at the end of the day, we just felt very strongly that our police and fire are going to be the ones that are there at the scene if something goes bad, and what they think about this is really important.
How responsible, I mean, what is the potential for our, you know, lawsuit possibilities if we allow that? I don't know that. I'm kind of concerned about, you know, how does it reflect back on us?
Right.
Well, if we allow something, right, we permit these golf carts, that does create a little bit of a challenge, because it does then put the onus on us to make that determination of, is this the right thing? What are those parameters? What are those restrictions? Things to that effect. I looked up the ordinance a little bit. You probably did too, Marcia.
Yeah.
And what was?
So we allowed 4 per cart, and it was silent on how many per seat.
Mm-hmm. Under 73.41, the definition of golf carts, it actually does state that to Jennifer's point, unless the laws of the state of Indiana state otherwise, no one under the age of 6 shall be allowed to ride in the golf cart, and no one under 10 years of age shall be allowed in the back seat of the cart. So I think you have 2 different kind of age levels there. Obviously, your driver is going to be up front with the younger kids, if you will, but 11-year-olds can sit in the back seat, right? So, I'm supportive of keeping the age as it is. I don't have a vote in the matter until it comes to me for signature, but I concur. I think having a 5.5-year-old myself, I think 6 is a good age to keep it at, in my opinion.
Keep in mind, most children 6 and under are all in booster seats. My 9-year-old's still in a booster seat because of size, and they can't have booster seats in golf carts, so how would that be safe for them to be in them?
Mm-hmm. And from state to state, some places do require seat belts, mm-hmm. where some states don't. And I think, you know, I support the, you know, what you're saying with the way it's written here, with a max of 6, 2 per. And again, it you need all the eyes that you can help observe what's going on, because, you know, it happens so quick.
And it could be not even the golf cart driver's fault.
Right. They could just be at the wrong place.
I think something else, if, you know, let's say you have one kid that's under 6, you know, maybe a parent could restrain or hold them, but, like, I had, you know, 3 sons under 6 at one point,
yeah.
If it's under 6 and I, you know, someone takes their 3 kids under the age of, or if it's younger, to try and restrain more than one squirrely kid that age, I mean, it's a handful, so I'm in agreement with the age. Also.
Unfortunately, we as city government are sometimes put in a position where we have to make ordinances for the for the minority, right? To effectively protect them from themselves in some way, shape, or form. Now, it sounds really big government. It's not meant to be that way. But at the end of the day, the vast majority of our residents, I think we can all agree, the vast majority of our residents would do the right thing, okay? But there is that small population that won't. And unfortunately, you know, the laws, the rules are in place, the ordinance is in place to try to help with that small population that won't do the right thing. And
out of respect for the golf cart, sure. The ones I have witnessed have been extremely respectful.
Absolutely.
They've been
no question.
I wonder how this is going to start out, but I think the ones I've seen have been just tremendously respectful and do the right thing. As far as how they handle the thing.
I agree.
It was surprising. Sometimes I thought, you know, I'd want to race one another. But no, they've been the best.
So what I'm hearing is pretty unanimous. Let's keep it at 6. Is that fair? Okay. So, anything else on that you want to talk about?
Not on that specific.
Okay. So let's move to the next thing, which is pets at downtown events discussion. Jennifer. Okay.
All right. So another hot topic at Ordinance has been pets at events. We initially started discussing this because we weren't allowing dogs downtown during First Friday, Old Settlers, whatever. And we started looking at trying to figure out how we were going to maintain that or manage that and have a clear understanding with the police department about what they were supposed to enforce. And there was all kinds of discussion about what about people who live downtown and want to walk their dogs at the same time that First Friday is happening? Are they allowed to do that? It just got into a lot of splitting hairs about things, and we were going down this whole rabbit hole of how are we going to enforce all this stuff, and we're not allowing this, and we're not allowing that, and then pretty soon it got to the point where, like, this is crazy, why are we even doing this at all? So, kind of circled back the other way and talked about what if we just leave it up to the event organizer to decide if they want to have animals at their event or not have them at their event, and that is on them. There's a couple of different reasons why that would make sense. One is, for one thing, we need to have a clear understanding of what it is that we're doing so that the police department knows whether they're supposed to care about dogs downtown during an event or not. But also, you know, maybe it's an event where it makes sense to have dogs downtown. Like, I don't know. So we wanted to bring it to the whole council to kind of weigh in on what everybody felt like about it. We also felt like if we were insisting that they not be there and then somebody brought one and it bit someone, where's the responsibility in that? Is that on the city? Is that on the pet owner? If we did officially allow it, where's the responsibility? Like, we were looking at this in a lot of different ways and kind of frustrating ourselves a little bit, so we decided to frustrate all of you too. You had something to say about it also. So, what we're thinking is maybe a good idea again is letting the event organizer decide what they want to do and be in charge of enforcing that or conveying their wishes to somebody else.
How would they enforce it?
I guess
they couldn't ask the police.
It would still defer to them.
Yes, they would ask the police, but it's their event, and then they could ask them to remove their dog. If they refuse, then they could ask the police to ask them to leave, because they're the agent in control of that event. They could say, we've asked this person to leave, and they are refusing to leave, and then it would be a trespass type issue.
Okay.
But if a dog was allowed at an event, but it was causing problems, it's still deferred to...
Yes, if the event organizer says, Mr. Varga, I want you and your dog to leave, and you're like, forget it, I'm staying, then they would call the police, and it would be a disorderly type, trespass type issue, and then we would either force you to leave. But until then, we would not be involved, because as the event organizer, it'd be their choice.
So the one thing with that, if every single event has to say yay or nay, how are they could convey it to all the people? Because everyone posts on Facebook, but not everyone sees on Facebook, so it's word of mouth. So, like, if I brought my dog down, but it's, oh, you can't have dogs there today, but you can, first, you know, farmer's market, you can tomorrow, it's going to be hard to have them the muddy waters.
So the event organizer, do they?
They put out signs. They could.
Well, that's what I was wondering. If they said, here's the rules for this event, the event organizer, and that, again, keeps the ownership with the event organizer. We could say, here's the posting of our event based upon our committee, and then if they don't agree, then that's where Scott would get involved. And maybe they do agree, but by the time we get the dog out of there, the dog may act up and an officer observes it. That's a whole different scenario. But at least it puts it back on the event organizer, because really we're the governing body that's going to ultimately end up with it if it turns into a bad situation. I mean, that's kind of what I see.
But what about city events? Because wouldn't... I mean, do we have events that we're...
What does city events mean?
I mean, like, Old Settlers. So that's the Old Settlers.
Right, that's their responsibility.
I mean, do we have any events that we, that the city as a whole sponsor or in charge of?
So I would say short answer is probably no.
Okay, so...
But, here's my caveat to that, though. There, I mean, the special events ordinance does... is that the one that talks about Old Settlers? Or
So
my challenge or my question about that is if going back to the original thought pattern is okay. So if Old Settlers is in our ordinance, is that something that, because it's kind of ordained by the city, if you will? Mm-hmm. Although every time we approve a street closing, I would assume we're basically saying yes, you're good to go. But because that's in our ordinance, does that make a difference? And maybe you guys talked about it, maybe you didn't in the ordinance review committee. I'm just curious about that.
Well, and that's why I was bringing that one up, because if let's say for just our conversation, that this at Old Settlers, you're allowed to have your dogs, okay? Yeah. Well, then I would think that would set a precedent, whether it's in their rules or not. I mean, people aren't going to go to X event and be like, oh, I'm going to read the rules before I go down there and buy a chili dog. I mean, they're just going to go off of what rules they see.
Well, they're not going to read the ordinances either.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Oh, I always do much.
the counter to that, I'm not trying to say this, the counter to that would be we've kind of had generally established rule that animals aren't allowed downtown for events. Now, with that being said, it was humorous of the fact that it seemed like nobody knew that, but yet very rarely do you go downtown to an event and see animals down there. So it's like, okay, I guess at the end of the day, the question is, where should the city be on this issue? That's really the end of the day, the question.
Yeah, yeah.
What should the city do? From a technical perspective, yes, I think there's pros and cons on both sides, but what should our city ordinances say about allowing animals at downtown events and festivals? Frankly, that we're the ones that approve the street closings for, mm-hmm. right? Because that's what they are. So what is the role of the city in that regard?
That is why we brought it to everyone.
Right.
Yeah. And, so you go out west in a lot of events, like, when I say west, like, if you go out to events in, my brother lives out in Wyoming, so we've been out there and they do things. Everybody brings their dogs. None of the dogs are on leashes. They just run all over the parks and it's crazy. I don't know how the dogs don't attack each other. But they don't. It is absolutely crazy that no one gets hurt and no one gets bitten. I mean, I'm not saying that that's what we need to do. So please don't take it the wrong way. But, I mean, so there's some places where in their culture, even though it's here in the U.S., that the pets and everything are allowed, and they're just part of the population. They're treated just like, they go in the grocery stores with them. They're everywhere out there. Whereas here, we don't have that. And so, and I don't know if people are used to that here in Indiana.
I think it's going more and more that way in a lot of other communities.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with us, like, wanting to get a dog park and wanting to advocate that. And everyone has their companions, their legal dog companions. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a lot of, there is. It's a lot of messages. We're going to go one way or the other.
I think there was kind of a sense, too, that for some people that's their family, and if they want to bring them
mm-hmm.
to this event that we're having, community event, then, you know, if everybody's behaving, hey, it's great.
Yeah.
And I always see them at, like, I always see them on the Saturday night in my hometown at the farmer's market. I mean, I've seen them there even at for some first Fridays I've seen dogs. So, I mean, that's where we kind of have to figure out if it's a yay or a nay. I personally don't think putting it up to each person is going to be a good idea because I think the community is going to get very upset about it. Because it's just they won't know for every single event how to handle it or whether or not they can bring it. I'm just looking at it that way.
Question for I guess, for the council, and maybe I'll start with Jennifer and the Ordinance Review Committee, but was this discussion specifically on dogs?
It started with dogs,
okay.
And it turned into other things.
So that's where I'm going with this is, I'm fairly confident that we have chased things like iguanas off of the Midway. And not to throw a bomb in the middle of this discussion, but the question is okay, if you go the laissez-faire route, you know, can I bring my iguana downtown too? If it, you know, because it's my companion pet. Right?
I don't know. I mean, at the end
and
of the day,
do we care? That's a real question.
Yeah, I mean,
do we care?
We don't care until somebody gets bit or
sure.
something.
Correct.
And then they demand we do something about it. But is it really? And again, I'm.
But then
really trying real hard to straddle the line.
But
there's
a legal question. Then does it fall on the city or does it fall on
right.
the pet owner?
We all turn to look at
well, that was, well, that was part of the discussion. I mean, the fact is the city's making these laws, and we say, you know, we start to make exceptions. We say no pets at events, but we make exceptions for the Humane Society. We make exceptions because
yep.
First Friday comes to us.
Yep.
We make exceptions for this. And we then allow those pets to come, and the pet bites somebody. The city has interjected themselves in the issue. So if the city says, look, you know, we have rules regarding your pets, and they're on a leash, and, you know, if they're a dangerous dog, they're covered by our, you know, there's different things that are already covering all of these animals. It's not as if the city says hands off on events, that it's hands off completely. It's still got all its laws in place.
Uh-huh.
The point is, you as the event organizer, if you're the Humane Society and you want to have a pet parade, you know, and you want to have animals down there, you've got to come to us for an exception. And, you know, who are we going to have to be in the business of deciding who gets to have animals at their event and who doesn't? Why not just leave it up to the event organizers? We already have the pet ordinance or the animal ordinance in place. It's still going to apply to all of these animals within the city limits, no matter if they're an event or not. So that was part of the problem, was the legalities of us interjecting ourselves within the event as to animals at those events.
And Scott, I know that I mean, this really became an issue, I think, at First Friday, if I remember correctly.
Yes. Yes.
It wasn't anything that maybe we haven't done in the past, where we start kicking, not physically,
well,
kicking,
no,
but
I mean,
throwing dogs out off of
and,
the
and
area.
And as Marcia said, people don't read the ordinance. Even the event coordinators, you know, like, what? We can't allow people to have dogs at our events. And, you know, and it was just like, hey, you can't have your dog here. And then people are like, and then you get into this, it's my therapy dog or my emotional support dog. It falls under ADA. Well, those don't fall under ADA, you know. And you get into that, and it just then people, it was a minority of people that got upset because then you see the surveys and like a lot of people said, oh, wait, I don't want dogs, but then there's a bunch of people. A good portion said, hey, you should have dogs, and the police department, the officers don't want to go through, like, next thing you know, there's people hating them because they asked somebody to have their dog leave, you know. And as Marcia pointed out, we have all the animal ordinances in place and state law that if your dog is not on a leash and is running around on other people's property, that's a violation of law. And they're required to keep their animals under control. And if their dog or iguana bites somebody, it's they're under Indiana law, they're civilly liable for, you know, taking care of those, you know, bills and stuff. You know, there's specific things talking about animal bites and owners are responsible. So, you know, it's tough. You know, you want an organized, clean event, but is it really on the organizer? And it's on them to say, yes or no, I think that, yeah, that dog's got to go, or we don't want animals here. Please, could you, you know, we've asked this person to leave, and they've refused, you know, because it ends up a bad PR for us as the police officers when we go down and chase some people off, and in the days of social media, it instantly gets posted, and people are, oh, you've got nothing to worry about but chasing off somebody and their therapy dog, you know, and younger officers, and they don't want to be involved in that. So it makes it hard for them to enforce it. They're like, so it's tough.
It seems as though our ordinances are pretty tight with animals anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, to say you can't bring a dog downtown, our ordinances are already in place. And it goes back to the responsibility of the pet owner, keeping that animal under control, whether it's an iguana or a dog or a cat mm-hmm. or whatever they can bring down
here.
But it still goes back to the responsibility of the pet owner.
Sure.
And just like what we had up on North Oak, or
yeah.
You know, and we have an ordinance in place. The dog got out and bit the other lady's dog. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it wasn't, it goes back to a civil matter between the people at that point. It's not the city's responsibility. It goes back to, you know, taking care of themselves. But I don't know. I get a little concerned when I see a big dog walking down Old Settlers, you know, but at the same time, you know, I try to stay away. But, you know, do you put that, I don't know, what freedom do you take away there?
I totally understand where Marsh is at, and I think, you know, the ownership of that situation does go back to the sponsor. And we're the governing body, again, I go back to that aspect of we have ordinances in place that we support and have been, you know, been there for a long time. I mean, we could talk about other things where there's rules. In an animal, it's not even an animal issue, but there's other things out there. They have rules that, you know, when you're in our facility, these are the rules we have to play by or go by. It's not that we're trying to make it difficult or bad, but we, you know, I think they have ownership of at least getting that information out as, you know, as it needs to be. And if they see something, that they will make the attempt to address it, they the sponsor. And if it don't work, then they would call Scott, because I've asked him twice, or whatever the situation may be. So.
So here's what I hear you all saying. What I hear you all saying is, if we leave it as is, we're going to continue to have issues, and we kind of get into a little bit of a legal situation there. If we change it, then it's a little more, well, it's a lot more laissez-faire in regards to whether or not they're allowed downtown, keeping within our ordinance. But that it's going to be, to Jenny's point, it's going to be hard for those festival planners, organizers, whatever, to get the word out of whether or not animals are going to be allowed or not allowed. It's hard for me to envision, you know, to your point, it's hard for me to envision a big dog coming down the middle of the midway at Old Settlers, right? I'm assuming, Marcia, I'm assuming Old Settlers will say no animals down there. I'm assuming that's what they'll say. But
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's just what they'll say, and they'll
sure.
signs at the end of the point that say no animals allowed.
Yeah.
No pets allowed.
So I guess that's what I kind of hear, which again is the muddy mess that you started talking about at the very beginning. But I guess my question is this: obviously, there's not an ordinance change that's in front of you tonight. So what I'm kind of gathering maybe is that it would be probably worthwhile for us to obviously maybe take the 2 weeks we have between now and the next meeting. Talk to people, run the idea by people. Is that kind of what you think would be
yep.
worthwhile? And then just kind of gather feedback. And in 2 weeks, we'll come back and we'll see what feedback you've gathered and go from there. I would even be willing, if you want me to. I don't want to cause more of a stir than what there is. I'm willing to put out some kind of a Facebook poll or something if you want. Just let me know what you want me to do. I'm willing to do that to get, you know, social media's perspective. Not always even, but
tricky part about that too is it's not all.
It's a catch. That's
either.
True. It's a catch 22. But but in any case, if you want me to do that, I'm happy to do that. But
there will be people coming in from outside.
True.
I was gonna say it could be.
I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Open to the public, so.
I believe we've posted signs before when we first started this years back in regards to Old Settlers. I mean, at every entryway of street, mm-hmm. per se, and made it very visible. And then I think once the people got
used to it
or educated to it, it kind of was a given. But again, sometimes we have to go back and revisit that. So.
Get what you wanted out of this?
I guess so.
Well, I think it's
a
good discussion.
To bring
yes.
all of you into the discussion,
sure.
so that you could all
yep.
realize how tricky it is from really all angles.
I think it's a good discussion, and I think similar to parking, there's not going to be a perfect idea. There's not going to be a perfect opinion that's going to be passed, right? But if we can find... Again, if we can gather feedback, find out what our constituents want, and at the end of the day, try to make the best decision for the city and for our constituents, I think that's the best we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Best we can do. Clearly, I don't know that right now the system is working as is, but we go from there.
Like I say, I see it's a big headache for the
sure.
department to enforce that. If I see sure. it, I see it downtown. I got the phone back Friday night. I watched it go on, and I'm like, oh, I felt bad for. No,
it's not bad
for the police department.
Yeah.
It's not a good safety.
Okay. Okay, then we're going to keep moving. Thank you for that discussion. Next up is the appointment to the Solid Waste Board. So the Solid Waste Board is really in charge of the recycling program in Whitley County. The board members are made up of the three commissioners, myself as mayor, one county council member, one town board member from either Larwell, Chirrut, or South Whitley, and one city council member. Okay, so Nicole was that member. Nicole obviously is no longer a city council member, so I need one of you to be the solid waste board appointee, and. We meet once a month. Now I take that back. It's actually now I think it's every 2 months. We've tried to go to every 2 months now. Here recycling complaints, make sure that we're doing the right thing with the budget, things like that. So whoever wants to do it, I'm perfectly fine. That's
I heard Jennifer.
I love.
Okay. Jenny? Yeah. Anybody else? Everybody okay with that? Okay? Great. Do I have a motion to appoint Jenny to the Solid Waste Board?
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Jennifer. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Okay. So, it's unanimous. Next up is department heads. Terry.
I don't have anything to add other than my written report sent out today.
Questions up there? Thank you. Kelly?
Same with me.
Questions of Kelly? Thank you, Mike.
Just a couple things. Over the weekend, we had three different stations. We had problems with a broken check valve, broken transformer wires, and a broken force main on Monday. Two of those are... One is temporary, fourth main's fixed, and he broke the check valve. We're still waiting on parts. Sludge hauling's going on. We're just under 500,000 gallons as of today. Long-term control plan, Jefferson, they poured part of the concrete floor. They have another pour scheduled for Wednesday, just tomorrow. On the Whitley Street site, they're continuing to excavate that hole and waiting on it to dewater. Sheeting is happening on West Ellsworth, along they started in setting a structure and started putting pipe in today. We also received grants from iPads. So we'll be buying a new gas meter in addition to the one that we have. So we'll have two meters. We'll be able to run two confined speech out at the same time if we have to. One out on the job site or at the treatment plant itself. Flow meter ring setter. If we have that, we'll be able to move and set our flow meter. That way that will avoid confined space entry. We'll be able to set the ring up above street level at several places. And that also included, we'll be getting an additional to the AED we have. We were going to order three brand new AEDs, which one will go in another building, one will be on our service truck, and the other one will be a floater. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Question to Mike. Thank you. Tom.
Uncle Mike always has riveting stories. No, I think my written report, I have nothing.
Questions at that? Thank you. Chip.
To expand on my report, we had a bad end of the month of December. I don't really want to announce it. But we did not get the DNR Next Level Trails grant, and we did not get the downtown planning grant, so that's kind of why I didn't. But everything else is going great. Failed at my job, but everything else is going great.
For your information, we do have a call. Actually, we have a meeting on Friday with OCRA to go through the downtown plan and where we struggled. I think all three, Chip, Lori, and myself, are all just flabbergasted. We don't understand why, because
this is
the
second time now.
This is the second time, exactly. So we're gonna have maybe a hard conversation with OCRA about what's going on, what maybe we're not seeing. Let's say it that way. And then for the trail thing, actually, we were probably a finalist and ran into a couple of snags we just couldn't fix in the holiday season. There just wasn't, people weren't working and we couldn't get answers quick. And so anyways, we do have a plan to overcome that. Well, obviously it won't be holidays, but we do have a plan to overcome that. Plus, we're going to try to go after maybe a DECO grant for local match purposes, try to build our case a little bit better. So we're going to keep working on that one. That one's a big one, obviously, trying to get out to the new high school. So. Anything for Chip? Thank you. Mike?
Nothing. I don't have anything to add to my report.
Question to Mike. Thank you. Scott?
I just wanted to let the council know that in our last process, we've been approved to hire Jeffrey Branicky, and he will meet with Beth tomorrow, HR, and then he starts January 27th with his pre-basic course, and that leaves us, our process will we'll start testing later this month to fill the position that we have open.
We have one or two positions open?
Two. The one from last year and with Rob leaving, and then the new authorization for this year.
Gotcha. Okay. Questions, Scott? Did you have your hand up?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Scott? Okay.
No.
Can't see it, Ted. So. Okay. Thank you. Sean?
Just a couple of customer service things since you council members do hear from our customers on occasion. We did start tree trimming. It's a yearly process. It'll take us probably 3 to 4 months to complete. So if you do get calls about trimming trees along power lines, that's us trying to clear lines and make our power as dependable as possible and necessary. Also, February we start a trial on our full system implementation for AMI, our advanced metering. We're going to do a handful of meters and put them through the automatic process and get them into our billing. Make sure we don't have any bugs before we do full implementation starting in March. So in March, customers will start seeing the new advanced meter on their houses. We currently already have over 600 installed, and they're working very well. Also, we had an outage over the weekend. Had a large tree come across all three phases out on Worsens Road, took the power out from about 10 p.m. until 1 o'clock in the morning. And my guys did a great job working through the weather, the snow, the rain, the ice out there that last Saturday. Also, Chip once again failed to do his job. last night, we had a chance to attend the Indiana Municipal Power Agency legislative reception. We had a great time, had some great conversation with Senator Zay, Representative Judy. They were both welcoming. They really wanted to talk. They wanted to talk about the issues in our area. They were happy to see us, and we spent several hours with them and just had some really good conversation. It was a great opportunity for us, and we really enjoyed their time, and they enjoyed mine. So, Chip was great. Chip's a good icebreaker, in case you haven't noticed. Other than that, you have any questions?
Questions of Sean.
Thank you. Mark.
We currently are selling $500 dance tickets in our office. The dance is February 7th and 8th, so as soon as we get back from the retreat. Tickets are $20 a person, and it's a Friday or Saturday night. IPRA is the state event for Parks and Recreation staff. That's February 11th and 13th. I'll be there for that, that training. Our ice rink is still open. It'll be open through February. We'll actually add a couple special event, like Valentine-type things, coming up here in February. And then once that February is done, we'll take it down, and we'll be back over pickleball again. And we'll be able to do some pickleball tournaments this summer, which I think will go pretty well. We did purchase a couple soccer goals. They're down at the park. If you drive through, you'll see them sitting there. Those belong to the park. We'll have some soccer teams practicing there this spring in hopes that this fall we can then move them to the new high school property. Of course, that's going to depend on construction and what that all looks like. I don't know, but I know the travel teams in our area has really taken off with a lot of growth there. And they've been playing in Warsaw and having a hard time finding field space in Columbia City. So we're going to give them a couple areas for some smaller fields, and hopefully that helps a little bit this spring with that soccer community. We can maybe expand that as we get into the fall next year. The engineers are working on wrapping up the property, the plans for the new property. Hopefully I have that here in a couple weeks, and I'll send that out to you. We'll hopefully do a training here at council with JPR so they can show it to you. And then the dog park plans are done, and I think we're ready to start funding for that. So hopefully you'll hear some more about that here in the near future. If you know anybody interested in lifeguarding, we'll be hiring, hopefully planning maybe anywhere from 10 to 15 lifeguards this summer. So if they're interested, contact our office, and we'll explain to you how you can get certified for that, because it's not as simple as just filling out paperwork and you have a job. You do have to actually go get certified and prove that you can do this job. So baseball and softball registration starts at the end of February, so at the end of this month we'll be registering online and in our office. And we've been planning a lot for the Aquatic Center already with some special events, maybe some movie nights and things like that. So kind of fun to start talking about those things. And I wanted to thank Walmart today. They gave us a significant donation of a lot of Christmas display or lights and displays. And so we can use that at the Aquatic Center next year. So they gave us a lot. And really pretty cool that they did that today. So that's all I have.
Questions of mine? Thank you. Marsha.
Just welcome, Jenny. I look forward to working with you. And beyond that, as always, I have nothing.
RC.
I have nothing.
Walter.
No.
A couple things for your information. Taylor, you came from RDC?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Let's see. Thursday, we have youth council going on here. Reminder, Friday night is the City Awards Banquet, that's at Union 12, so that'll be a great night. Reminder to the press that we will be off Martin Luther King Day the 20th, the City Hall will be closed. Some of you may be going to the AIM Boot Camp, I'll be heading down there too, so that'll be the middle of next week, and trying to think if there's other things I need to make sure you're aware of. I will be reaching out, Perry. I will be reaching out to you all to get a new bio for the website. So we like to update those every couple of years. Jenny, obviously, I'll need a fresh bio for you. Usually 2 to 3 paragraphs. I think we usually do 2 paragraphs, something like that. And then I am planning on February 11th. I think that's what I sent out. February 11th to do portraits for website and for downstairs. So I think I've gotten most of your responses, but please plan on doing that. We're going to do it between 5:30 and 6, so for those of you council members, if you can come before 6, obviously, and then Board of Works will try to hit somewhere in between there. Department heads just have to go as you see fit. So, I think that's all I have, unless you have questions. So, Mark, I need to see you after council, please. Dan.
At our next meeting, we're going to recognize our lighting award winners and hand out their prizes. If I haven't picked up their sign yet or couldn't find their sign at their house, they're welcome to bring that sign with them. I'll be contacting all of them that still have their sign on. So. And our next ordinance committee meeting is January 28th.
Okay. Thank you. And before I go on to Tad, I just remembered, as the council, have you reappointed your RDC members yet? Have you guys voted on that yet? Okay, so your current RDC appointments are Tad and Scott Gates. So if you guys would be okay with it, I would ask you to maybe reappoint those individuals at least for this year. So if you're...
Want a motion?
Yeah, I would like a motion for that, please.
I make a motion that we keep Tad and Scott Gates on the RDC committee for the year 2020.
Thank you. Motion second for the discussion. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. Okay. Walt and Jennifer. Jenny approved. And Tad abstains. Thank you for that. I don't think we've done that. So
I was going to say, I don't remember official, doing that. So. That's okay.
Tad.
So, yeah, at RDC today, we didn't do a lot, but we, we're still working.
Well, Chip didn't do
very much. I was there, right?
Yeah. And, Chip, you do clean up nights, you know, because you didn't have that,
yeah,
you know, out in earlier today. So, change is close. So, yeah, the Cardinal Green, talked about that a lot, the old Cardinal Green building, and there, did all the borings for that to test the ground, and they're going to do, I think, some, they found a few things that they may have to go in and,
dig up.
You know, yeah, dig up or put something in there to block anything that could be in there, and so we might have to, you know, add some more to the budget, but pay for some more things for that out of the settlement that we had. So, and then I think Chip's going to get the sign up for at the apartment. Right, Chip?
Yep. Yep. It'll be up this week.
Yeah. just the RDC's involvement or the city's involvement with sponsoring or helping with that project. So, but I think that was... I think that was just about it. Working on facade grant revisions, but I don't foresee that coming with any changes to that for a while. So that's it.
Thank you. Jen?
Nothing.
Press? An audience? Okay, we'll call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.